This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is. The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We have an amazing hour for you. It is just jam-packed full of goodness. Of course, Medal of Honor Monday is coming up a minute from now. We have J. Michael Waller joining us a half hour from now. They're starting to do breakdowns of these Antifa terrorist groups, and he was involved in things like communist revolutions in El Salvador. He's just a wealth of knowledge, and he's about to dump that knowledge on us about a half hour from now. We'll talk more about these people using power, the religion of conquest. Alvin Bragg let some New York woman go free. Why did that happen? All that and more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But this moment is dedicated to heroes, as it always is on Mondays. Mondays, start of the second hour, it's Medal of Honor Monday time on this show. Always has been and always will be. You can do this. I want to, again, encourage you. I didn't do any of these things. I don't own this. Everybody has access to every Medal of Honor citation that's ever been earned. You can do this with your family, with your class, with your team. You can do it at work. Read the names. Read the deeds. It's not just good and healthy for the country. It's interesting. It's like an action movie. And yes, of course, we take email recommendations, love, hate, death threats, and recommendations if there are ones you love, like this one. Jesse, I absolutely love your Medal of Honor Mondays. Try to listen to them whenever my schedule permits. I just finished a book about Chosen Reservoir and was amazed by the actions of Medal of Honor recipient Hector A. Cafferata Jr., and would love to hear you relate his story to your audience. We've actually done this one once before, and as is usually the case with these things, his citation is grossly inadequate compared to what he did, and his citation is amazing. So I'm going to start with the citation, then I'll add some more detail to it because they actually underserved the man, and I'll explain why that happened. Anyway, he was born in New York City in 1929, United States Marine Corps, and this is what he did.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, while serving as a rifleman with Company F in action against enemy aggressor forces, when all other members of his fire team became casualties, creating a gap in the lines during the initial phase of a vicious attack launched by a fanatical enemy of regimental strength against his company's hill position, Private Cafferata waged a lone battle with grenades and rifle fire as the attack gained momentum and the enemy threatened penetration through the gap and endangered the integrity of the entire defensive perimeter. Making a target of himself under devastating fire from automatic weapons, rifles, grenades, and mortars, he moved up and down the line,
and delivered accurate and effective fire against the onrushing force, killing 15, wounding many more, and forcing others to withdraw so that reinforcements could move up and consolidate the position. Again, fighting desperately against a renewed onslaught later that same morning when a hostile grenade landed in a shallow entrenchment occupied by wounded Marines, Private Cafferata rushed in to the gully under heavy fire, seized the deadly missile in his right hand, and hurled it free of his comrades before it detonated, severing part of one finger and seriously wounding him in the right hand and arm. Courageously ignoring the intense pain, he staunchly fought on until he was struck by a sniper's bullet and forced to submit to evacuation for medical treatment. Stout-hearted and indomitable, Private Cafferata, by his fortitude, great personal valor, and dauntless perseverance in the face of almost certain death, saved the lives of several of his fellow Marines and contributed essentially to the success achieved by his company in maintaining the defensive position against tremendous odds. His extraordinary heroism throughout was in keeping with the highest traditions of U.S. naval service. Now for the rest of the story, or at least a bit of it. First of all, he was an athlete, a world-class football player. I believe if memory serves me, he went semi-pro football player. Big dude. In fact, his nickname was Big Heck. That was his nickname, Big Heck, football player. Joins the Marine Corps. Is kind of a problem child in the Marine Corps. Just kind of a problem child. And those oftentimes are the guys who earned these incredible medals. So he's got a buddy with him this night. His comrade in arms is a guy, Kenneth Benson is his name, Private Kenneth Benson. They are in their sleeping bags. Remember, it is frigid cold. Now, this took place at a place called Tok Tong Pass. I don't expect that to mean anything to you. It doesn't matter. Here's what you have to know. Our troops were cut off at Chosen Reservoir, or I should say almost cut off. If we lost control of Tok Tong Pass, our troops would be completely cut off, and we may have seen the annihilation of 30,000 troops. That's how severe the situation was. Big Heck's company was essentially overlooking that pass. The Chinese troops knew they had to take his position. What's in his position? About 200 Marines, roughly. How many did the Chinese send? Different estimates depending on what you read. 12 to 1,400 Chinese troops attack them because they had to have the pass. Now, you know how I told you these guys were in their sleeping bags? Kenneth Benson, his buddy, had a grenade, essentially, I believe it was a grenade, if memory serves me, explode, and it blinded him. He no longer had the use of his eyes at the beginning of this. But this little warrior, who should have possibly earned the medal himself, did not quit, did not give up. He spent the rest of the night refilling magazines and handing magazines to Big Heck, who spent his time shooting them, and his blind buddy is blindly handing him magazines. The Chinese are chucking so many grenades up at Big Heck during all this, he actually pulls out his little mini shovel and starts swatting them back at the Chinese like baseballs when they're chucking them at him. I'm telling you, man, they could make an entire movie out of this one part of Chosen Reservoir, and it would win all kinds of awards, except you know they'd gay the whole thing up and ruin it all. But it is an insane story. Oh, and one tiny little bit that may be the biggest bit of it. You know how I told you they were in their sleeping bags? They didn't have time to put on their shoes. It's 10 to 20 below zero at least, and they are standing in knee-deep snow, and Big Heck is taking on waves of Chinese in his bare freaking feet for hours at a time. Hours at a time. So many Marines died in his company. You know, I told you it was about 200. You know how many were left by morning? About 80. They're just dying in droves, and Heck is just murdering the Chinese as fast as they can come at him. You know, they said he killed 15. There are estimates from multiple people that he killed 100 of them. They did not report that number because they thought it would not be believed. Now, who knows what the exact number is, but it was not 15. It was a lot. He was in his bare feet. By the time he got back, they didn't know if he was going to keep either of his feet, and they did not know if he was going to live. They shipped him back to America. His feet were like black. They shipped him back to America. He had to undergo treatment for a year and a half before he was upright. Kept his feet, kept his patriotism. I think he worked for the Forest Service, if I remember right. Was always a hardcore patriot. And by the way, a super humble dude. When they told him he'd earn the Medal of Honor, he asked them to mail it to him. Could you just put that in the mail? And they said, no, you actually need to come to Washington, D.C. and accept it. Lived until 2016, died in the state of Florida, is buried, I believe, don't quote me on this, I haven't read his stuff in a while, I think he's buried at Quantico, Virginia, Marine Corps Base, Quantico, Virginia. Big heck, man. I'm telling you, a lion who saved a lot of lives and did not kill 15. Not 15. That's an appetizer for big heck. All right. We're going to talk about what happened in corporate America. We'll again touch on communists using power when they find it. I want to touch on your dog for that's. I don't want to. I wish I hadn't put that way. I want your dog to be healthier. I mean, I would pet your dog, probably, unless he stinks. If you want your dog to have a better coat and better breath so he's less smelly, your dog needs nutrition. The same way you need nutrition. Your dog has to have it. We bury our dogs too early and it hurts. I've buried so many, usually digging it myself, me and my dad. Let Rough Greens keep your dog alive longer. Rough Greens is America's number one dog supplement for a reason. Live vitamins, minerals, your dog, you will see differences in their energy. They're just better dogs, and they don't keel over so early. There's no nutrition in your dog's food. Get a free Jumpstart trial bag and sprinkle it on your dog's food. RoughGreens.com, promo code Jesse, or call them 214-ROUGH-DOG, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wild, amazing Monday. Only 10 minutes away from J. Michael Waller. I'm so excited about that. To learn more about these Antifa terror networks, remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you missed any part of the show, you can download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I'm actually going to pause really quickly on them using power because I wanted to bring up something. Apparently, so many people were angry about it. I know it's NFL season, and I know the NFL is majorly popular, and I know you probably watch it. I got all that. The NFL came out and announced somebody named Bad Bunny. No idea who that is. Apparently, he's going to be the halftime show. He's some foreigner, and he has a history of saying things like this, apparently.
I'm never performing in the U.S. again. I'm scared that ICE might raid the venue outside my show. And honestly, I can't risk the safety of my fans like that. Mainland America just doesn't feel necessary to me anymore.
Okay. Whatever. I don't know who this person is. I could not name a single song, and nor do I care to find out. But let me just address your rage for a moment. And believe me when I tell you, I am not scolding you for still watching at all. I still do things that are bad. I try not to. I still support companies I shouldn't. I try not to. I'm trying to be better. So I'm not lecturing at all. But there is something that takes place now and always. So I'm going to explain what happened here. And actually, I talked about this last week when it comes to politics, but it very much applies to companies, corporations. It really applies to so many things. You know what? I'll make it about the Jesse Kelly Show. The Jesse Kelly Show has hardcore listeners. Every show does. So I'm just going to make it about me to make it easier to understand. In the radio business, I have learned they call them P1s. Still no idea what that means, but that's what they call the most hardcore people. Those are the people who don't miss a single minute of any show. If they do, they'll download the podcast. You got it. The P1s. If my goal, and this is not my goal, but if my goal was I want to be the biggest, richest radio star in the history of the world, and that is not my goal. It's just not my thing, as you know. But if that was my goal, then here's how I might go about it. My P1s, the hardcore listeners, maybe that's you. I want to keep you. I have to keep you. But I also, because my goal is to be the biggest, richest ever, I need more. I need more people in. So how much can I stray from who I am and what you like while still keeping you? That's the goal. The goal is, can I moderate a little here? Maybe be less offensive there? Be a little less honest about this. Only a little. I don't want to push you away, but how much can I flirt with the line of pushing you away to bring in new people so that I get to keep you and get more new people? I used it in reference to politics before. Republicans, Democrats, they do this. How much can I screw my base over in the general election, but not screw them over so much they leave? I need to screw them over a little, bring in some of the more squishies while not completely betraying my base. Okay? This applies to more than just me. It applies to more than politics. The NFL, professional football. The NFL, football in America, is unreasonably popular. It's ridiculous. It affects entire industries. The grocery industry thrives when it's NFL season. Did you know that? We're obsessed with football. And again, I'm not judging, but the NFL discovered something during the St. George Floyd insanity, the Black Lives Matter insanity in this country. What they discovered was they can do anything and their hardcore fans will never leave, ever. They will never leave. And I realize some, maybe you did, there are going to be a few, but they will never have a significant portion of their fan base stop watching football. They can do Black Lives Matter rallies. Drew Brees can put the name of a rapist on his helmet. They can do the most despicable things in the world. And even if you last a week or two, you'll be back watching, buying jerseys, going to the stadium, cheering for your team. Well, when that happens, they learn, well, hey, I can do whatever I want. Why would you go hire some commie foreigner to do the halftime show of the biggest TV show in the world every year? Why? Well, you're not going anywhere. The NFL is trying to go international, as all corporations are. They're trying to bring in more of a fan base, a worldwide and international fan base. American citizens have proven they will never leave it. They will never leave it. They will never forsake it. The NFL now knows, after George Floyd, they are invincible. Their P1s will endure unending things, and they'll still keep watching. They were taught a lesson. And again, I'm not judging. I am not. I make mistakes too. I do bad things too. I shouldn't even call them mistakes. I do things I shouldn't do too. I'm not telling you to turn off the NFL either. I'm not. You live your life the way you want. Go enjoy your football. But this is the result of that. The NFL learned they are invincible, untouchable. They learned their lesson well, and now that's how they operate. All right. I'm done with that. Let's go talk to J. Michael Waller. Before we talk to J. Michael Waller, know that there is an entire criminal world you can't see and I can't see. It's this terrible online criminal world where they're always looking to steal your data so they can drain your bank account, destroy your credit, take out loans, home loans in your name, basically destroy your financial life. It sickens me that LifeLock has to exist. It really does. I wish it was unnecessary, but we have to have a firewall against this. Who will let us know when they've stolen our data? Who will let us know when they're draining your bank account, when they're taking out a home loan in your name? And if the worst does happen, who's going to make you whole? Who is out there? LifeLock. LifeLock's the one that's been doing this for years and years and years. They have the reviews they have for a reason. I know the management of this company. I have loved them for a long time before they ever partnered with the show. I just adore them. I adore their mission. Go. You can save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com with the promo code Jesse. Sign up before it happens. Before it happens. LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse, or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Terms apply. We will be back to find out more about how these terror cells work. Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But enough of that right now, because I want to get right to Dr. Michael Waller. He is the Director of Strategy for the Center for Security Policy. And for our purposes tonight, he is going to explain, well, quite a few things about insurgency, but I want to talk about this armed queers of Salt Lake City breakdown. And I want to understand how these organizations work, how these Antifa terror cells work. And so, Dr. Waller, the floor is yours. Explain this insurgency to us as best you can.
An insurgency is an organization or a movement that works above ground legally and has an underground movement for the purposes of committing crimes and violence and secret conspiracies. So we're at that stage now in parts of our country where authorities have let things get so far out of control that you have a full-blown insurgency, just like the kind that they had in, say, you know, El Salvador 40 years ago. It's communist-led. It has a lot of fellow travelers and useful idiots who don't know what they're doing. And it has an above-ground part that you can see and an underground part that you can't see.
Okay, let's pause for a moment on where we are today. If you wouldn't mind, I would like you to expand quite a bit on what the heck happened in El Salvador 40 years ago, because most of us, most definitely myself included, are stupid and don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, it was a huge thing back then. They were trying to replicate a communist revolution like in South Vietnam, which had just collapsed to the communists just a few years earlier. So in America, the movement that had supported our communist enemy fighting us in South Vietnam, they were looking for other causes. So there you had the Sandinista revolution in Nicaragua, and then right after that, a communist revolutionary movement in El Salvador, and then the sanctuary movement, which came out of that and brought us sanctuary cities here. So the Salvadoran insurgency, which was trained by the Cubans and the East Germans and the Soviets, developed for El Salvador, but then they had spinoffs to come up to our country as refugees, as migrants. And they were given sanctuary through sanctuary cities and a sanctuary movement so that the federal authorities could not come in and deport them back to El Salvador. So you had the families and civilian support structure of the communist guerrillas coming up to Los Angeles and Boston and New York and elsewhere to live permanently and then set up their own networks here.
Okay. Again, we're speaking with Dr. Michael Waller, Center for Security Policy. Okay, so where we are now, break it down for us. Where are we with these terror cells? How did they come to be? What kind of makeup is there? How dangerous is this? Please explain.
Well, there's an ancestry to all of this, so it's not something new. So therefore, it's not something hard for our authorities to learn about, if only they had people in the system who were looking at underground communist and anarchist groups. But the FBI was looking at you and me, so they weren't paying attention. And really, there's almost no one left inside the Bureau who understands this stuff. So be that as it may, these groups have been allowed literally free rein for decades. They got their inspiration and their training and their even the recruitment of their cadres through a lot of the now elderly 1960s radicals and 1970s radicals tied in with the Weather Underground. Say, you know, the same folks who actually coached Barack Obama, you know, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn of the Weather Underground. What did they do? They got acceptable positions marching through the institutions as university professors, like Angela Davis and so many others of that time. Then they recruited students, radicalized them. Now we're talking on the third generation now of radicalization. So a lot of these people get so alienated, like everything's fascist, everything's Nazi, everything's racist, therefore we have to destroy them. Imagine if we had a chance to kill Hitler before he created the Third Reich, what a better world this would be. So a lot of these people really believe that they're fighting evil. They've been radicalized. The people in control understand something quite different. They have an ideological cause, which is to overthrow our Constitution and to turn our country into a communist regime. So they're using a lot of people who don't know anything about history, a lot of very well-meaning people, and a lot of just twisted, sick people who are just messed up in their larger movement to destroy our society from within.
Dr. Waller, can you explain, we'll get back to the actual cadres and the makeup of these people for a moment. Can you explain for a moment what the violence, how does it help them? Not just assassinations. You're blocking ICE facilities. You look like a freak. Surely this is going to turn people against your movement, but they've been using these tactics forever, so there has to be a point. What is the point?
There's a really important point to the violence, because violence creates real solidarity. It's kind of like if you're in military combat, you've got buddies who you're going through hell with, and you're going to do anything for one another, even if you don't know them from before. And you're always going to have a special identity with them. And for the rest of your life, you're going to identify with them first. So you have a certain kind of language, certain kind of gestures where everybody kind of understands everybody else at the expense of those who are not in the know. So it creates this system of what the communists call cadres. It's called cadre building. And these are the foot soldiers of any revolutionary movement, in the case we're talking about here inside the country. So what the violence does here, first, you know, if you get into any crowd mentality, like you get into a good concert, right? There are a lot of people and it gets rowdy and you end up doing stuff you ordinarily wouldn't do as an individual because it's wrong and it's stupid and it's whatever, it's destructive. But it can be kind of fun when you're in it with everybody else and you're part of it. If you're a dupe, or you're just sort of dragged into it, or even if you came in planning to do it, it's cool, it's exciting. Now you've had an experience. So the next time you go into this, you're enthused about it. And then people see, who responded best to this? Who's most aggressive about this? Who will do as they're told without question? Who are some of the natural leaders in this? And that's how they locate and identify and then end up recruiting hardcore radicals into their movement. So if you look at the way Antifa has been living up in Portland and Seattle and so forth, living in tents, living in squalor, living in sort of communes where everybody shares everything and shares everybody's experiences and lives a very hard life in very harsh weather conditions and food conditions and health conditions, there's a solidarity that breeds among them, just like Mao's guerrillas did in the mountains. And it's going to be an unbreakable solidarity. So that's the purpose of the violence. The purpose of the violence is also to give them a sense of empowerment. If they can hold back the cops, if they can get the governor of a state, not necessarily Oregon, but a governor of a state or the president of the United States to denounce them and to denounce their movement, that makes them more important. That jazzes them up. And then they get into a clash with cops, National Guard, whatever. It's really pretty cool if you look at it from their perspective. And now they think we are being repressed. We have to fight this repression. This proves that they're fascists who have come out after us because they're trying to stop us from freeing the people of racism and oppression.
Dr. Weller, last question for you here, but please take as much time as you need. How do we stop it? Obviously, the cancer has metastasized badly. These cells are everywhere. What is the method to break it up? I understand we may not have the expertise at the FBI right now, but what should we be doing if we did?
Well, first, the FBI and federal law enforcement needs to build that expertise, and there are plenty of people on the outside who have it. Guys like Andy Ngo on X, you know, he's been through all of this. There are a whole bunch of people like that who already know this and how it works, and they're going to have different opinions based on their different perspectives. So all of these different folks are going to be very useful. Then you have people on our side who've approached it from the scholarly perspective, or they've been doing this, like as I had, since the 1980s when I was in college. We were collecting information on the left. We still have all of that stuff. People older had been collecting it since Vietnam. They're still around. They have a whole lot of historic knowledge, even who was who and who was doing what in the pre-digital age. You can collect all that material, digitize it, build big databases of it because it's all open source, and you can provide it to journalists, to guys like you, to law enforcement, to anybody who needs it, and help people become experts on it, and especially help state and local law enforcement because they're the people who need it most.
He is Dr. J. Michael Waller. Absolutely wonderful. Please come back and join us soon. Thank you for that bit of education there.
Anytime.
This goes to what we've discussed before, a bit of we may not have the horses left because they captured the institutions. And that was part of the reason they captured them, of course, so they could reward their friends and punish their enemies, you and me. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll do some more emails next. Before we do some emails, let's talk about free things. Generally, free things are garbage. That's just a fact. We like free, but it never works out that way. Hillsdale College is the greatest free thing I've ever seen in my life. Now, don't get me wrong, I hate to spoil it for you. No, you do not get to attend Hillsdale College on campus for free. And in fact, you probably can't get in. I most definitely cannot. But we all of us, we get to get educated by Hillsdale College. More than 40 free online courses. They give it out. They don't want just Hillsdale students to know about capitalism or the Constitution or Rome or the Book of Genesis. They don't want that. They want that for every single American citizen, and they give it to us for free. Do this with yourself. Do this with your family. Do it in the car. Spend an hour in the weekend. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, and you should. We love your emails, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, my problem with Trump from January 6th, he's talking about on Friday we did a long January 6th talk with the indictment of Comey and the FBI and whatnot. He says, how could he not have known Democrats were going to arrange a break-in and make it look like Republicans did it? I knew that was going to happen. Everyone should have known, says I can use his name. His name is Scott. Okay. It's very fair to criticize Trump whenever you disagree with Trump. He's not your God. Okay, that's one. But if I may, Trump has, and I used to be very hard on him because he wouldn't do this. Trump has acknowledged, and he did it in my physical presence. Donald Trump has acknowledged that he did not know how DC operated and he did not understand it when he got there for his first 4 years. This sounds like an excuse. Just stay with me for a second, though. I'm going to tell you something, and you're not going to believe it, especially if you're a huge Trump fan, if you look up to him a great deal. I'm going to tell you something. The 2016 version of Donald Trump, who walked into the White House, you had a better understanding of politics, DC, communists, and the danger than he did. Do you know that? You knew more than he did. And he would probably tell you that. Remember this. For all the good he's done and all the good he's doing, Donald Trump was not a political person. He was a New York businessman. A New York businessman who cut deals with Democrats, donated to Democrats, cut deals with Republicans. He's just a business guy. He's on TV. He's a real estate guy. He got to Washington, D.C., and he got put through a four-year crucible learning just how evil these people are. This is what I want to caution you against, because I tend to do this too. We tend to think titles automatically come with the knowledge that title should hold. Don't we think that? It's perfectly natural. Your doctor, he knows a lot more about medicine than you do, right? Really? Did your doctor tell your kid to take the COVID vax? Your doctor knows less than you do. Possibly. I don't mean your doctor specifically. Well, that general, he knows about logistics. He knows about tactics. Really? Are you sure? Do you think in the system we have now, you get promoted only through merit? You get promoted because you know, or you get promoted because of who you know? And the exact same thing applies to our politicians. Surely my House representative, my senator, he knows how government works. What's real? Really? Do you think that? It applies to the president too. Surely Donald Trump, who's president of the United States of America, he understands how evil the Federal Bureau of Investigation is. He understands everything about their history. He understands things like Waco and Ruby Ridge and all these other things. He knows all this, right? No, he didn't. He was lost as a river duck for his first 4 years. Conceptually, he had the right ideas about a lot of things. He knew deportations were good, border security is good. Conceptually, he was right. He's not a moron by any stretch of the imagination, quite intelligent. But you knew more than 2016 Donald Trump did about the evil nature of the communists. Now, in the year of our Lord 2025, Trump is quite aware. He knows now, once you've been shot, arrested, impeached twice, now he gets it. Once you've had your own FBI director, at least the first one, try to take you down and the second one screw you over, you're pretty aware of it.
Do you agree with the strategy of focusing on the Oath Keepers and focusing on prosecuting that group of individuals first in order for it to be a deterrent?
You've got to throw the net wide, get all of them, both the organized groups, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, but find everybody who went into that building. Find them all. Again, not because of my concern that those people who committed a misdemeanor are going to go into the community and reoffend. The message has to be sent of zero tolerance. We will find everyone and punish everyone who went in there so that no one does it again. We will hunt you to the end of the earth, even for a misdemeanor, and make you pay for that to send that message.
Do you think Donald Trump knew that January 6th was the Reichstag fire the communists used to hunt down their political opponents and treat them like terrorists? Do you think he knew that on January 6th? Of course he didn't. Of course he didn't. He was calling for Nancy Pelosi to bring in the National Guard. Of course she didn't. Wonder why she didn't. I wonder why it almost seemed like she wanted it to happen. Anyway, I understand what you're saying. And that was not an effort to make excuses. There are some things that can't be excused. Even naivete doesn't excuse it. Like the COVID response of 15 days to slow the spread. He has to own that. He always will. That sucked. But it is what it is. All right. I'm finally going to get to them using their power and things changing. Things are slowly changing, and we should take heart in that. Before we get to that and emails and so much more, I want to talk to you about your bed. Your bed is where you spend a third of your life. Do you and your spouse happen to sleep at different temperatures? You're well aware that Ob is cold all the time. I am hot all the time. How in the world do you select sheets? Cozy Earth sheets, man. Cozy Earth sheets. They are the most comfortable freaking sheets in the history of mankind. It's like they took their everywhere pants and made them bedding. They're the most comfortable sheets ever, but they breathe. It's bamboo. I still don't understand how this miraculous grass, did you know bamboo's grass, is somehow made into the greatest sheets on the planet. Get one set. I'm not asking you to go buy five. Buy one. You'll buy more. And save yourself a pile of money. They'll let you sleep in them for 100 nights at no risk. That's confidence. CozyEarth.com. Code Jesse saves you a bunch of money. Don't forget to use the code. CozyEarth.com. Code Jesse. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.